This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
We go back into Romans chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 14. We have a slight overlap from last time. And Paul is talking about the Israelites and wanting them to be saved. And he's talking about how it is people become saved. It's about hearing the word and responding to the word. So in 14, he says, well, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they've never heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they have been sent? How beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring good news. So this is the context for the next bit, that actually faith comes through hearing the word, and hearing the word requires someone preaching the word. But you can't preach the word unless, in a sense, you've been sent. What does that mean? What does it mean to be sent? And he picks up with how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news, which is a quote from Isaiah 52:7, and it's a quote from battles, that the one who brings good news is the one who says, we've won, the battle's over, we've won. And he goes back to the king in the capital and he brings the good news. So how beautiful are his feet, because he's bringing the good news that the battle has been won. And he has been sent from the battle line with the news, go and tell the king, we've won. That's the good news. That's the message of good news. And that's what it means to be sent. We've won, go. Now, of course, Jesus has won. The battle has been won. The enemy is defeated. And Jesus says, go. Where? Into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus says, go, we have been sent. And we've been sent with the good news that actually the battle has been won. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. That's what he says in 16. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, it's the word of Christ that produces the message. And it's faith that receives the message. So it's a twofold thing. The person with the message is only responsible for giving the message. The person to whom the message is given is responsible for what happens next, whether they receive it or ignore it or even reject it. That's their responsibility, but the person with the message, go and tell the king, the battle has been won. And the king may well have said, let's have a celebration in the city. The king may have said, oh, well, okay, it's dinner time, I'm going to have my dinner. The king may have said, I don't believe you. But the messenger takes the message. Verse 18 says, I asked, did they all not hear? Of course they did. Because the voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And we're still in Isaiah, I think. Yes. Oh, no, we're sorry. My eyes have gone completely wrong. We are in Psalm 19. Of course we are. And this Psalm 19 is talking about creation. It's talking about the message of creation being the thing that takes the message to the whole world. The sun and the moon and the stars send their message out. So the first four verses of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Psalm 19 says no one can say they don't believe in God because the message of creation says there is a creator. Oh, what fools we have around us in the 21st century. Their voice has gone out into all the world, earth, their words to the ends of the world. Of course they heard. Of course they have heard, Paul says. They've heard that message. No one can say that message hasn't been given. Just as a sidetrack, I've seen a picture, a photo of the world at night. It's a composite image because the world is not completely at night all the time, of course. There's always day somewhere. But a composite image of the night world, the night globe. And there are places where it is just a light with artificial light. And there are places where it's dark, where there are not all the artificial lights. So you see the great cities of New York and London and Mexico and so forth. And then you see the great dark spaces, which are both the oceans and the less developed parts of the world. Where those artificial lights shine, the stars do not shine brightly at night. You can't see them. And you know, the map of that world where the artificial lights is almost exactly the reverse of the map of where the gospel is growing and spreading. Where the light is artificial, people are rejecting the gospel. Where there is no artificial light, people are accepting the gospel and the church is growing. That's an aside. The stars and the moon and the heavens above, their voice has gone into all the earth, their words to the end of the world, people have heard. Verse 19, did Israel not understand? And then he quotes Moses, and this is from Deuteronomy. I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. God says to them, others are going to hear, and you are going to reject. Isaiah says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And we hear stories today of people from Islamic backgrounds or others who haven't been looking for Jesus necessarily, but suddenly he appears in their line. They can't ignore him, and they come to him and they find him. Whereas those where the word is, are often rejecting. So verse 21, concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate nation. All day long, God has been saying, here I am. And the nation of Israel has refused to listen. Jesus walked in Israel, but the religious leaders of Israel, at the very least, rejected him and led Israel away. And the Jewish nation, by default, is still against Jesus, their Messiah. Many are finding him, many are coming to him in Israel today. But the religious leadership are still saying, no, we will not accept him as our Messiah. All day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Chapter 11 starts, I ask then, did God reject his people? No. No. God has not rejected his people. In fact, God came to save his people. Jesus came to his people. Jesus came to Israel. For Israel has always been God's chosen vessel to bring his name to the people of the world. And Jesus is an Israelite. And the people, the apostles, the writers of the New Testament are Israelites who carry this message to those of us who are not Israelites and plead with Israel to receive the message too. There is a sense of God's heart breaking over Israel, even as Paul's heart breaks over Israel and over the Jewish people who were chosen to bear God and God's message and God's love into our broken world and who have rejected it themselves. That's Paul's heart. But the good news begins to be not all Israel has rejected. And we'll see that next time as we head into chapter 11. And he explains about the Israel that has not rejected, and then the Gentiles who are grafted in to the new Israel, to the new vine, to create the church. But that's next time.
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.